movie rights.
Yes.
Have you ever sold or optioned the movie rights to The Informationist or any of your other books?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me how that works, because I know for a fact that if you option your book, then you're fabulously wealthy, right? Because that's the way it works.
That's what you said about books too, right?
Well, but I know I'm wrong about that now.
Right. So, well, first of all, just like with traditional publishing, if you want to go traditional movie, whatever, you need to have a film agent. In publishing, people, you read stuff on blogs and you just kind of roll your eyes. You know, people are so scared. Oh, they're going to steal my manuscript. I need to copyright it, and so on and so forth. Well, it's not going to, there's no reason for them to do that in publishing. In the film industry, guard that thing, put under lock and key, don't let anybody see it, because ideas are not copyrightable. The execution of the idea is protected, but not the idea itself. And that's what, you know, when you write a book, it takes a long time to write that book, and nobody's going to execute the same idea. No two people are going to execute the same idea the same way, and it's the execution of the idea that gives it value. But when you're talking about film, ideas are flying around everywhere, and somebody can take an idea and then make their own execution of it quite easily. So film is completely separate. So when you have a manuscript, you don't just want to go hand it out willy-nilly and say, hey, you know, you want somebody representing it, because they're going to look out for that thing as if somebody tries to steal it, they're stealing money from that person.
So this is a completely separate person representing you. It's not your agent in the literary world. This is an agent for the film world.
Correct. And it's been my experience, at least with my agency, they're pretty well connected. Because they've been in business for so long, this is not their first rodeo. And they have people that they've worked with in the past that they have good experiences with, and people they've had bad experiences with. So when they're ready to bring a book to the film market, they know who to go to and say, and my agent was like, look, this is a person I've worked with before. I've had really good experiences with him. I'd like to submit your book for consideration. I'm like, okay, great, go for it. So you end up with a film agent and a book agent working together. The film agent is representing your film rights. Your book agent is representing your book rights, and if they're doing things the way that should be done, everybody should be talking to everybody so that your book agent always knows what's going on with the film agent, because your book agent is looking out for your career long term, and she doesn't want any surprises coming from anywhere, and she'll be the one keeping your film agent apprised of, okay, there's a new book coming out, here it is, and so on and so forth. So with a book agent, all agents don't get paid. If they're reputable, they don't get paid unless they sell your work. They earn the commissions off of the work that they did in selling your work. I've heard and seen a lot of people say agents are unnecessary and all they do is take money that you could get yourself if you just had a good intellectual rights lawyer, look over your contracts and so on and so forth. This could very well be true. But in my experience, my agent, both of them, have earned every single dollar I've paid them, because agents have their ear to the ground. Publishing and filmmaking are some of the few industries left where it's not what you know, but who you know. It's very much an old school, hey, let's go out to lunch. What are you looking for? What have you done lately? What are you excited about? And so on and so forth. So agents, when they reject a manuscript, it's not necessarily that the manuscript is bad. They might love it, but they might have no idea who in their network of friends and connections and inside knowledge would be the one to publish it. And as the law of agencies goes, they would be in violation of the position that they carry if they were to accept a manuscript that they did not reasonably believe that they could sell. Because their job as an agent is to represent you, to look out for your best interest. So in the case of movie rights, if you're with a reputable agent, they're going to know a reputable film agent, and they're then going to pass that on to the film agent. And at that point, the responsibility for trying to represent the book for film now is in the hands of your film agent.
When did you acquire your film agent?
I believe it was right after the editorial process was complete.
Okay, so it was pretty early on.
It was before the book got published.
So then the agent goes out and finds someone who takes an option on the material.
But the agent, the film agent is going to work a lot like a book agent would, in that they know, they have their ears to the ground on who does what. They're going to read the book. They're going to figure out who they think would be a really good fit for it. They start shopping it around. Now, with books, if your agent can't sell that book within about a year's time, if they're ethical, they're probably going to give it back to you and say, look, I tried, but this is just not selling. Please, you know, you're welcome to find another agent that maybe has different connections than I do. So if you haven't sold it in a year, you pretty much know that something needs to be either rewritten or whatever. With film, it could be 20 years before that book sells for film. There's no expiration date on it because film is a completely different world. So your book becomes part of, I guess you say, your film agent's stable of horses that he's putting into the race and always keeping, you know, based on what he thinks is going to sell the highest and what has the most potential, he's going to put more effort into putting that into people's hands.
So if he finds someone who likes it, they don't just buy it, do they? Or do
generally,
they?
I mean, it can happen. It can happen. But generally what happens is the purchaser will option the book. And option money is, you can't get it back. So it's considered part of the overall purchase price, depending on how the contract is worded. So depending on the book, generally speaking, most, from what my film agent tells me, most options have more than one option period. So the option gets renewed. Contractually, it's built into the contract that the option can be renewed a certain number of times before the buyer has to either say, yes, I want it and pay up, or just let it go and not pay up.
So basically what the buyer is doing, or the potential buyer is doing, is saying, I will give you X for the right to buy your book for Y, and then they go out and try and sell it for a lot more than Y, obviously.
No, I don't think so. I think when somebody options a book, the first part of your sentence, your equation was right. I give you X to be able to purchase your book for Y by such and such date. But they're not doing that to turn around and sell it to someone else. Usually what they're doing is holding on to it to try and build a production team and to get a studio to back it.
Okay. And that's, that's a completely different thing than someone buying it. It's basically getting a studio to commit to making the movies and start paying salaries for people to do.
Yeah, that. So they in the meantime, whoever optioned the book and has the film rights to it for that set period of time, now knows that nobody else is going to buy it. It's theirs. They have the right to do it, so they know that they can buy it if they want it. And so they're going to start looking for directors, trying to pull directors on board and try and find a studio to back it. And they put together a proposal because a studio is not going to just say, yeah, we'll back this film if the film doesn't have a good writer and a good director and maybe a few key star players who are already signed on to it. So during that option period, that's what the person who owns that option is trying to do, is pull it together and to get it made. And I think it's pretty fair to say that most books that are optioned don't get made into movies.
What percentage would you say do get made into movies?
I'm not real versed in that world, but just from the conversations that I've had bouncing around when the film rights to the informationists were optioned, I think somebody said, like, you've got like a 1 in 100 chance of having it made if you're just going with the average studio or average production company that's optioning a book.
Not very good odds.
No, not really.
But it's exciting though, isn't it? When it's optioned? Because people talk about it, like it's almost, they talk about it at the same level they do when they sold their first book.
Yeah, and I mean, in my particular case, people say that I'm a glass half full person, but I don't see it that way. I see myself as being incredibly pragmatic, and I don't really believe in counting chickens before they hatch. I'm like, okay, there's chickens, it's awesome. It would be so awesome if they all hatched, but we're not going to count them unless they do, you know? So in my particular case, because the film rights were optioned by James Cameron, who doesn't just go around willy-nilly optioning books, and who 4 months prior to doing this option had said to the New York Times that he was never going to produce another non-Avatar movie again, ever, that he was out of the movie making business except for Avatar. For him to come now and option this book, I think there's a little bit higher chance that it will be made into a movie than the 1 in 100, but he's optioned other books that he has not turned into movies yet, so there's no guarantee that it's going to happen. It would be amazing if it happened, but what it did was it gave sort of a cachet. Is that how you say that word?
Yes.
To me as an author, it was like a validation thing of, you know, sure, you've never heard of her, but James Cameron has.